Good morning, everyone. Sorry, running just a minute or two behind here, but I think we're okay. I think we're set to go. Appreciate everyone being here this morning. Really, really do appreciate it. Showing up for class, it's a good thing, right? It shows our love of God's Word. So, we are looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. And we just started to look at that a little bit last week. Before we get started this morning, if you will, please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you and praise you for being our loving Heavenly Father, for being our refuge, our stronghold, for being our shield, the one that watches after us and takes care of us, Father. We love you and appreciate all that you do for us. We love your word, Father. We're here, gathered here to study your word. We love your word, Father. We appreciate all that you tell us and teach us in your word, Father. Help us to understand what you're telling us. Help us to follow our Lord correctly and to understand your word better, Father. We're wanting and asking for your wisdom, Father. We want to know how you want us to live our lives so that we can be the people you want us to be, Father. So we can be your people in the correct way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove a speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, we had just started looking at this last week. We had mentioned how the world kind of takes this idea of not judging and really takes it incorrectly. So we were talking about verses specifically 1 and 2 in that idea. And in these two verses, Jesus is talking about harsh, unloving judgment or condemnation, right? So our next question, at least for me, not from the book at this point, what happens if we judge and condemn others?
We'll be judged.
We will be judged, right? We will be judged. And if you look at that as condemnation, then we will be condemned in the same way, right? If you look at the word there, what does measure mean in this context, in these verses? What does measure? Yes, ma'am?
The same standard you judge others, you'll be judged too.
The same standard, the same way. If we're harsh and condemning and judging someone, if we're unloving about it, not compassionate, not caring for them, then we will have that same standard of judgment used on us, right? So we want to make sure we're not doing that. So then, again, what's wrong with that kind of harsh judgment and condemnation on others? What's wrong with that?
Well, it certainly is showing the love that God meant for us to have for each other.
That's definitely a good point, right? It's not showing the love that we're supposed to have for each other, right? So that's a big part of it. Yes, Matt?
And it's hypocritical, as he says in verse 5. If we have the same problem and we're pretending we don't and then we're judging someone else, that's just ridiculous.
Right. It's hypocritical because we know that we all have sin. John plainly tells us we all have sin. And so it's hypocritical of us to be judgmental and condemning of someone else, right? Yes, Pat?
I was just thinking, Christ loved the sinner, but he didn't love the sin.
Yes, right. Jesus loves the sinner. He loves everyone. God loves us all, but he doesn't love the sin. That is true, right? It's the sinful actions that he doesn't love. But I was thinking too that when we're passing out that sentence, when we're condemning someone, we're kind of putting ourselves in the place of God, right?
Yes.
We're putting ourselves in that position like we can take his place and we can make that judgment for him in his place. And then we risk that same standard, human standard of judgment being used on us. So, let's see. So we should always have compassion for those people who we, you know, maybe we need to correct, or maybe we're just trying to help them come to the Lord and understand that, yeah, they're going to have a lot of things wrong. We still have things wrong. So, of course, some new person is going to have a lot of things wrong. Now, does that mean we can't judge at all, though?
No, we just think we should judge certain things.
Right, right. I think we mentioned this a little bit, but I had it here and I just wanted to make sure we understood. It doesn't mean we can't judge evil or evil actions. We certainly can, right? We can use discernment. It's like the Lord told us, you know, here, I have the wrong... Okay, I don't have my images in the right order, so bear with me. But Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus is saying, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." So we're to be wise and use discernment and know evil from good. Now, some translations may say innocent instead of harmless, but that's still the same idea.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, you know, can we judge a person's actions to say if it's right or wrong? Well, yes, we can, right? We can tell. If I'm stealing, that's wrong. If I'm helping someone, maybe I'm the little Boy Scout helping an old woman across the street, you know, that's good, right? That's fine. So we can kind of judge these things out. We can use discernment using God's Word. We can do that. So then... And again, this is kind of looking at the way the world looks at things. Is it condemning to state the truth that abortion is murder and that a man cannot become a woman and a woman cannot become a man? Is that condemning somehow? Is that judgmental?
No, it's just telling the truth the way it is.
That's right. No, it's just telling the truth. That's just the way it is. We're telling the truth against a deception. Sometimes we have to stand in truth and in love against the culture, against society, when it's wrong. And they may be mad and offended at us over it, but we still have to do that. Sometimes when you're trying to help someone, it can make them a little angry. So what should we consider in our judgment or discernment of people? What should we consider when we're looking at other people? Maybe this is too vague a question.
Maybe you could say you could consider your own situation and where you fall into the category of what they're doing.
Right.
And whether or not you should condemn them, or possibly you should be helping them out of that sin.
We should consider ourselves, right? And are we right types of things? And maybe we should be trying to help them or make it a mutual helping of each other, and that.
And if there is something you have to confront someone about, you see some problem in their life, I mean, you could have that humble attitude to say, you know, I've had problems too, I probably share problems, I'm not coming from a holier-than-thou attitude, but, you know, let's help each other.
Right, right, that kind of mutual idea of like, I understand, I have either similar problems or the same type of problems, maybe we can help each other out in this type of thing. Matt, Pat, did you hear something?
I was just, I think I said this before, like, somebody comes into our assembly and is not dressed like we are, or maybe have lots of tattoos, a lot of piercings, we cannot be judgmental. It's like, they got here. Be happy they're here. And then after they're here, maybe they can be taught that things can be different in their life. Because
right.
There might have been a situation in their life that they felt the need to have that because they were insecure about themselves. And being here, they could learn to be more secure about themselves and they could get some of that, those things up.
Someone comes into the assembly, maybe we don't know them, it's their first time maybe coming to the Lord or coming to church, and yeah, we should be happy they're here and we shouldn't be judgmental against them. I mean, for one, when we look at that person, what facts do we really know about them? We're only seeing an outward appearance, right? Which is what you're referring to. We're only seeing an outward appearance, so that's not something we should be judging them on. We don't know the facts of their life, right? We don't know all they've gone through or what they've been doing or how the Lord is reaching out to them and touching them through maybe someone else we don't know. We don't know what's bringing them here, except hopefully it's a call from the Lord, right? So, and that comes to my next question, really. Do we know all the facts concerning another person in their life? No, we don't. And that's why we shouldn't be judgmental, right? He's all-knowing, but we're not. Oh, yes, ma'am.
There's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul addresses kind of the other side of this coin, right? As far as they were having some kind of problems with each other, and then instead of judging within the church and figuring that out, they were like going to the court, the Gentile, you know, the godless court, and working that, and that was to their shame. And it talks about, you know, don't you know you'll judge the world in verse 2, and even talks about judging angels, whatever that's all about. So that he's rebuking them for not judging.
Right, and that's because they're not using the correct judgment. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm just going to look at the first few verses here, but he's talking about they're suing each other, taking each other to court. It would be like if we took each other to court over some matter, maybe one of us sold the other one a car and there was something wrong, and we just wouldn't settle it in ourselves. And, you know, he's saying, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? You know, we should settle these things within ourselves. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? So there are things that we should be judging, using discernment, and taking care of, correct? I mean, so we know that all judgment is not wrong. It's this specifically that Jesus is talking about, an attitude of like harsh, unloving, condemning judgment. You know, when we look at this, what we're talking about here, we don't know who walks through that door, what their life has been like, but we don't know when Jesus is going to turn someone around and bring them to be a Christian. Just look at Paul. He was a great murderer and torturer of Christians. Jesus totally turned him around, right? Totally brought him around and made him a great Christian leader. Yes.
God knows all, and he is the judge. And we can take comfort in that he knows everything.
Yes, we can trust God that he knows everything and that he's going to judge everything properly and appropriately. I can't remember the exact, I can't quote it exactly right, but Abraham says, Will not the Lord of all the earth, you know, do what is right? And that's a paraphrase, but the idea there is, of course he will. That's a rhetorical question. That's not a serious question. Of course he will. So anyway, so wait just a look here, because this kind of sums it up, what James says in chapter 4, verse 12 here. There is only one lawgiver and one judge, so we need to be aware of that. He who is able to save and destroy, but who are you to judge your neighbor? Now, again, this is talking about that judging, like, I can judge you and condemn you or not, right? And that's wrong, because we're not in the place of God. We cannot do that. That attitude is just wrong. Now, we can judge actions like we were talking about. We can judge that thieving and things like that are wrong, but we can't really judge a person's soul. We can't judge their heart. Yes, ma'am.
In verse 11 of that same context, he talks about, you know, slandering one another. So the context seems to be that, you know, you're just trying to be a jerk to your brother and judge them, and it's not even true, and you're just being bad to them.
Yeah, so if you look at verse 11, there's even some more context to that, where they're not being kind to one another, right? And that's wrong. So we shouldn't be doing that. So who is our lawgiver and judge then?
God.
Jesus, right? God, right? Yeah, did you have something?
Mm-hmm. In that verse there, it says he's able to save and destroy.
That's right.
We're not able to do that, but we need to be very careful, because we can destroy ourselves by our actions and our words.
Right. We can't destroy, save, or destroy anyone else. But we can cause our own destruction with our actions and our attitude and our heart, right? We can cause ourselves to be destroyed, because he will judge us appropriately. So So we know that Jesus is our lawgiver and our judge. Now, does anybody have anything else on that before we move? I want to look at the next few verses. That's really just verse 1 and 2. Okay. So if we look at verses 3 through 5, are we like this guy up here with the big old log sticking out of his head? And he sees like the little splinter in the other guy's eye. And he's like, you know. Are we like that? That's the hypocritical thing that Jesus is kind of talking about here. And it's kind of a silly way to show that, but I think it does show it pretty well. Let's see. So, thinking along those lines and thinking of the verses that we're looking at, verses 3 through 5, you know, what sin is easy to see and what sin is hard to see? Yes.
The sin of other people, very easy to see.
Yeah, it's always easier to see other people.
Your own sin, sometimes you really don't see that.
Right. Sometimes we don't see our own.
You think of it as a little tiny sin, which God doesn't put them in categories. We do.
Yeah. We categorize sin, really, and that's not really the way we should do it, at least not the way we do it especially. But yeah, it's always easier to see someone else's sin than our own, even when our own should be obvious to us, right? Sometimes we are not examining ourselves perhaps as well as we should. Sometimes maybe we just, you know, we justify our sin in some way that's wrong. So can we help someone else? Can we really help someone else when we have a bigger problem or even the same problem with sin? No, right? I mean, he can't even get close to that guy without clobbering him with that log, right? I mean, there's no way he can get up there in his face and even help him. Again, a silly representation, but I think it makes the point. Yes, Pat?
A lot of times, you know, we can see clearly when somebody has a problem because we ourselves have been caught up in that.
Sometimes that is true.
Or maybe it's a situation that we've had to deal with. Mm-hmm. It's not pleasant. Maybe health issues, financial issues, or family issues. And we see somebody struggling, and when we go to them, they will accept it from us because they know that we went through that.
Right. Now, sometimes we can see someone's sin because we either are struggling with it or we have struggled with it. Maybe if we have struggled with it and gotten rid of it and gotten past it, then we can really help that other person, right? But if we're still struggling with it, then I think it's kind of hard for us to deal with it, to help someone else if we're still having the same issue, right? Because that means we haven't fixed it. So what does Jesus tell us to do in verse 5 along those lines?
Take care of your own business.
Take care of your own business. Clean out your own sin, right? Correct your own sin. That's what he's telling us to do, right? Then maybe we can help someone else. So why does Jesus give us this example? And there's a number of reasons you could give. So not. I felt, I'll go first. I felt like, you know, we tend to think that we're better than others, that we know better than the other person, right? And that we can correct them and we can fix them even though we have the same problem or the same issue. Sometimes we get this, it's a little bit of pride or whatever. I think sometimes we get that. We don't necessarily mean to, might be honestly wanting to help them, but sometimes we get that little bit of holier-than-thou thing going on.
If our attitude is wrong and we think too much of ourselves, then
you know, that can be an issue, right? It's like, well, I know what to do. Let me show you how to do it. You know, it's kind of that puffing yourself up. Now, that's not always the case, but I'm saying we have to be wary of that. We have to be careful. So, yes, Matt?
And then is maybe we're tempted to be judgmental to someone. We should think of the example of Jesus, who had every right to be judgmental, because he's perfect. You know, he didn't come to the world to condemn the world, but that people would be saved through him. And right. So if that's what he did, he came and died for our sins, you know, what kind of attitude should we have towards those?
Again, Jesus sets like this really excellent example. He did not come into the world to condemn everyone, but rather to help them and save them, right? So we should have that type of attitude. And sometimes it may be difficult because we're not perfect like Jesus was, but still, that is the idea. Did you have something, Pat?
I was just going to say what you did. He set that example. He didn't have to condemn us. He set the example of the good things to do.
Yes, he said that. He did set that good example rather than condemning us all, right? Yes.
We can't change anyone else. We can change ourselves. We can make changes in ourselves, and we're responsible for what we do, say, think, all of that. And until we get ourselves straightened out and are living in a way that's aligned with God's word, then we're able to influence better or stronger because our light is shining.
Right. We can't judge other people, right? But we can. Who should we be judging? Ourselves, right? Examining and judging ourselves. That's who we should be focused on instead of focusing on judging other people in that way. Is that's a point? Mm-hmm. Yes, Pat?
That's what Kim was saying is what I learned from adult children of alcoholics, because I think everybody knows my father was an alcoholic. And so I had an opportunity to take advantage of going through the 10 steps of being an adult child of an alcoholic. And what she's saying is true. The first thing I learned that stuck with me was, I can't change that person, but I can change the way I feel and how I react that person, not being a neighbor to him. And so by doing my changing to myself, they will see that I'm not down their throat all the time, and that they can feel more comfortable around me because I'm not trying to change them, I'm changing myself to deal with what's going around me.
Right, so sometimes we have these tough situations, like you're talking about your father was an alcoholic, and we can't change that person necessarily. Hopefully we can be a good influence, but we're not God. We can't really change that person, but we can change ourselves, how we react, and how we are with that person and in that interaction. Just like as Paul talks about husbands and wives, you know, maybe we can be a good influence on that person and draw them to the Lord, right? So That's a good point to make as well. That has to do, again, with judging ourselves, examining ourselves, changing ourselves. Yes?
I was just thinking, too, it goes along with the Sermon on the Mount, so that letting your light shine before men, they can see.
Right. It does go along with letting your light shine among men, you know, being that light. And so, yeah, it does do that, being the salt of the earth, all that. So, let's see, so I think we've covered, yeah, the one thing, it's kind of like if we're in sin, not being able to fix someone else's sin, it's kind of like if I'm a practicing drug addict, I can't tell my drug addict friend how to get off drugs, right? If I can't fix myself, how can I fix that person, right? So there's that comparison. So like, this guy trying to help the other guys is silly, but it's also just, it's not very reasonable. If we don't know how to fix the problem within ourselves, how are we going to help someone else, right? And that's another reason to be judging and examining ourselves. So. All right, does anybody have anything else on that? I'm going to mention one thing here, if my slides are in order now. If we look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you'll notice the focus here, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You'll notice the Lord said, you will be witnesses to me, not that you will be judges for me at this time, in this instance, right, about being here on earth. And then in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And here we're just reminded to help others in that spirit of gentleness, kindness, being careful not to fall into temptation. And I look at that temptation kind of two ways. You could be tempted into that sin, or you could again be tempted into pride, right? Falling into a prideful stance toward that person because you see that they've sinned. So, all right, so we move to Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. I, I'm, I keep this verse, to me, I always think of this verse separately. It does go with what he's talking about. I'm not trying to say that. But it's kind of a unique verse, and sometimes it can be difficult to understand. But if we look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, he says, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." So, first off, to try to understand this, and maybe y'all don't have any trouble with it, but I know when I was younger, I had trouble understanding this verse. It seemed weird to me. So, first, what's holy? What is our pearls? What is precious to us? Yes, ma'am?
The things of God, the gospel.
Right, the things of God, the gospel. Matter of fact, the most precious treasure we have is the gospel, right? The good news, the word of salvation in Jesus, that's our most precious thing. So that's what's being referred to here as far as what is holy and what is our pearls, what is precious. Next, what are the dogs and the swine that Jesus is referring to? And yes, ma'am?
Well, I think for a Jewish person, you know, thinking clean, unclean, unholy, you know, the dogs, the Gentiles, you know, the sinful people, the people who aren't trying to follow God.
Right. Here, he's not talking about, like, for instance, okay, he's not referring to, like, your pet dog. You know, your little loving pet. He's not talking about that. The comparison is, he's comparing people, unbelieving people, to these wild, untamed, scavenging dogs, right, that they would see. That we still see some of that today. I mean, you can find that in the world. And then pigs, like Matt was saying, very unclean animals. You know, they looked at everything as what's clean and what's unclean. Pigs, extremely unclean. So, but the idea, the comparison there was of unbelievers, hostile unbelievers, people who would hatefully mock and insult, and even in some cases, maybe become violent. So, yes.
We have that in our society and culture today, though.
Sometimes we
try to share the truth and the word of God, and they become livid and angry and hateful, and they can even become violent. They do not want to hear it.
Right. Some people don't want to hear the word of God so bad. They get really, really violent, really upset. They do a lot of things that, you know, we don't understand that reaction. Even if I didn't believe, I don't understand that reaction, because if you're talking to me about something I don't believe in, such as evolution or whatever, I'm not going to hurt you over that. I might talk to you about it and disagree with you, but we're talking about people who go beyond that, right? That's what he's referring to here. These are people who react really horribly. So it goes along with what we're talking about in verses 3 through 5, especially helping people with their sin. If you're thinking of trying to bring someone to the Lord, you know, you want to help them. You want to draw them out of their sin and to come to the Lord. But spiritually, some people, they are like dogs and pigs, like Jesus is saying here. They want to stay in their sin. They want to stay in the pleasures of the world. They just want to follow their impulses and have the pleasure that they want to have, and they're very much set against God or anything that tells them they can't do what they want. So what is the warning to us when we deal with people like this? I know we kind of mentioned that, but the warning is, yes, ma'am.
Well, there's one example in Acts chapter 13, where Paul and Barnabas, I think this verse applies, they were sharing the gospel then, but people were starting a persecution in Acts 13, verse 50. And then it says in verse 51, they, having shaken off the dust with their feet against them, they went to Iconium. So, like, they realized these people aren't really accepting the gospel. They're beating us up and they are opposed. We're wasting our time. We're casting our pearls before swine, perhaps.
Yeah, see, I think this is an excellent example. If we look at Acts chapter 13, and this is Paul and Barnabas, they're spreading the gospel. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. So what did Paul and Barnabas do? The next verse, but they shook off the dust from their feet against them, and they came to Iconium. They went on somewhere else. Right? They moved on. If people are rejecting and refusing, which that was part of what I was going to get into, so this is a good lead into that. If people are rejecting and refusing, if they're hostile and unreceptive to the gospel, how should we react? That's a good example of how we should react. We should move on, right?
Well, that's what Jesus told them. You know, shake the dust off your feet and move on.
That's what he told the disciples when he sent them out earlier, right? Yeah. So they're following that same example that Jesus has already set. So that's what we should do. There's no need to be angry or cruel or fight with someone.
They're not receptive. They don't want to hear
about the Lord. Hopefully they'll be drawn into it later at another time and someone will have a chance to talk to them. And if you can have a friendly discussion with someone, like there are some people that maybe don't believe that they'll actually talk to you and be nice and reasonable, then that's fine. Have those discussions because that can be helpful. But sometimes that's not possible.
It reminds me of a parable of the great feast where he said, go out and invite them. And all these people had excuses and said they couldn't come. And he said, well, then go on and ask all these people and keep going. So we don't get discouraged. We continue to invite and share the good news.
Like the people who would not accept the invitation to the feast. If they won't accept the invitation to the Lord, we move on and find people that will, right? We keep going and we keep inviting. We keep doing the invitation, asking people to come to the Lord, giving them that chance regardless. So that's another good example of that. It's great. So really appreciate the examples and everything. And when we are talking to someone like that, I would just want to finish this section up here real quickly. Sometimes they'll, like I said, they'll be mocking or be angry and hurtful. Does their opinion of us matter? No, right? It doesn't matter like what someone doesn't believe. What their opinion of us is. And I'm not trying to be mean to them, but it's just we should have one person that we really care what their opinion of us is, right? Who's that? Jesus, God. That's whose opinion matters. Are we in a good relationship with our Heavenly Father? Are we following Jesus? That's who we need to be looking to and caring about their opinion. Now, we're out of time for this morning. I really appreciate your interaction and attention this morning. Thank you.